T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
You ever had a bad day and your wife just beat the crap out of you when you got home?
Can't say. That's been part of my history now.
Yeah, no, I haven't had that either. So I don't know if that's a part of Americana that I'm missing out on or not, but apparently it was a bad day in the Glover household when he came home after the third round or the second round of the PGA. So, Paul, this team, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, says that it will not be pursuing the services of Dez Bryant. Are they making a mistake?
I think if that, you know, we talked a little bit about it before the draft, and I think before the Packers used a fourth, fifth, and sixth round pick on wide receivers, I think you could make the argument that injecting the wide receiver room with something like a Dez Bryant, with someone of that talent level, albeit someone who is aging a lot like Jordy Nelson, you know, kind of getting to that point where they're not the player they once were, you would still like to add that player. Now, he was going to make $16 million in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Clearly, you know, he's well past the point of being worth that type of money, and that's why Dallas let him go. Now, bringing Dez Bryant to a team that I think would like to consider itself a Super Bowl contender and a team who I'm sure Mike McCarthy would never turn down the opportunity to add more talent to his offense, you know, at a reasonable $4-5 million number. I mean, the Packers could afford to do that if that would be something that Dez Bryant's interested in. And, you know, as I think we get closer and closer to the season and Dez Bryant remains unsigned, you know, I wonder if a lot of teams who are in the Packers type of situation, you know, really good teams who could convince Dez Bryant to take that type of contract would be interested. But in the Packers' case, unless they get into training camp and something was to happen, you know, to Davante Adams, to a Randall Cobb, or if it just looks like, you know, two of their three rookie wide receivers isn't going to hit in year one and just isn't going to, you know, it's going to take a while to develop. If that becomes evident, then, you know, you have to explore it, because though Jimmy Graham is a wide receiver, kind of, you know, sort of, it's not technically what his position is. You wouldn't draft him in fantasy football as a wide receiver. He's a tight end. But, you know, that's what he does. He's not a blocking guy. He's a pass catcher. So, you know, you have enough guys there, but if you want to look at it technically, you'd say, well, Geronimo Allison is your number three wide receiver. And really, if you want to put Randall Cobb into a kind of a separate conversation, because slot guys are sometimes their own, they kind of live in their own world. They're almost their own position in today's NFL, the slot guy versus the outside wide receiver. Then that makes Geronimo Allison your number two, or you could argue that he's your number two. That sounds like a team that needs an upgrade, you know, at wide receiver. But they have so many possibilities to, you know, whether it's using Jimmy Graham at wide receiver, you know, again, not technically, but let's face it, that's probably what he's going to play in essence. But then you have, you know, Geronimo Allison, you have these three rookies. You have Yancey. You know, you have options. You have Trevor Davis, you know, a guy that I've kind of put on the back burner of my mind just because I just don't think he has it. I'm kind of skeptical that he's going to become anything other than a return guy. But you have options. And I think if those don't start to show themselves early on, or especially if there was to be an injury to a top-level guy, then I think you explore it. What I'm really curious about, because I don't think he'll wind up in Green Bay. I certainly don't expect that to happen. But wherever he signs, whether it's the Packers or elsewhere, I'm curious what kind of contract he's willing to take and what type of team he's willing to go to. You know, does it have to be a contender, or is he willing to kind of really show out on a smaller team and then make his money a year from now, or at least that would be his goal. So, you know, I think at this moment, Bill, I think I would have a different answer before the draft, and then mm-hmm. the Packers do what they did in the draft, and I think it changed my opinion of it. So I don't think it's a bad fit. I just think now you kind of have to see what you have in some of these younger guys, because you spent a lot of recent assets and invested a lot of draft picks and other things in bringing in a lot of young guys. You got to give them a chance to see if they can play.
We were talking earlier today, and the question was posed off of the Tom Silverstein article. Is Brian Gutekunst, is he more Ron Wolf or more Ted Thompson? And when you hear that comparison, give me your thoughts as to where you find the new general manager, at least in his early tenure, falling.
Yeah, no, I saw the article. I liked it. It was, it's thought-provoking, and I think you just have to preface it by saying we had, you know, a long time to study what Ron Wolf was. We had 13 years to decipher what Ted Thompson was. We have 5 months to decipher, 4 months, really, to decipher what Brian Gutekunst is. And, you know, the roster here is largely not his. I mean, he's starting to put his fingerprint on it. Like, the fact that he picked up a 2019 first-round pick, you know, asset accumulation, draft pick accumulation, that's very Ted Thompson. You know, like, I think in what we remember, you know, when we compare Ted Thompson to Ron Wolf, I think we would have said Ted Thompson would have done what Brian Gutekunst did in the first round. He would have traded back, added a draft pick for next year, always been, you know, two steps looking into the future, one step looking to the present. You know, and that's a good thing, it's a bad thing. It got Gutekunst accused of, you know, of being too forward-thinking and not, you know, active enough in terms of making sure the 2018 team can be the best it can be. But it was also praised. I mean, the Packers draft was universally praised by national critics because the Packers didn't go all in. So it just kind of depends what spectrum you fall on, if you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. That's so far, that kind of tells me he's Ted Thompson-like. But Ted Thompson doesn't sign Mo Wilkerson. Ted Thompson doesn't essentially trade Jordy Nelson for Jimmy Graham. You know, like, there have been a couple instances in recent years where I think you started to wonder if other front office people in the Packers front office were starting to get more and more say. You know, acquisitions like signing Jared Cook and like signing Martellus Bennett, things of that nature. But Jimmy Graham and Mo Wilkerson in the same offseason, letting Jordy Nelson go, you know, some of the draft. So it's kind of like, I've seen, to kind of summarize, Bill, I think there's been enough evidence of both types of guys in him. The draft kind of said more to me of Ted Thompson, not just the trading back thing and picking up the draft pick for next year in the first round, but also the three wide receiver thing. Well, that's like identical to what Ted Thompson did a year ago with three running backs, you know? So, I mean, there's been evidence on both sides so far. Now, if he goes out and does sign Dez Bryant, I think you can move that needle a lot closer to Ron Wolf, you know, and, you know, shades of Andre Rison and things of that nature, where signings where you brought in a guy who maybe was disgruntled, or, you know, people questioned about his locker room abilities and all the chemistry type things. And Ron Wolf kind of saying, doesn't matter, talented player, we're a Super Bowl contender, let's do it. So a lot more to be uncovered in the next maybe even few months, but definitely the next few years. But I've kind of seen the shades of both so far. I don't know.
I wanted to go back because I said in analyzing Gutekunst, I had said that when you look at what he's going to do, you can say, well, he's going to do more, and the reason being is because the window is different. When Ron Wolf took over, he was building. When Ted Thompson took over, he was building. When Gutekunst takes over, he's not building. He's trying to get to a Super Bowl and push all his chips to the table right now. So as much as I want to say, yeah, he's going to walk a thin line and this and that, it's like, no, he's got 4 or 5 years to be able to get a Super Bowl or two or three, and then he's out of time. That's why I think he's going to be more like Ron Wolf.
Yeah, so how old was Brett Favre when Ted Thompson took over? So would Favre have been 35? So go back to, like, 2005. I mean, do the math real quick. What is Favre right now, 47?
46, 47, yeah.
And maybe if Joe could quick look that up in a second. But they were, you know, Favre was in his 34, 35-ish type of guy.
Favre is actually 48, believe it or not, 48 years old.
So he's 48, so subtract 13 years from that, which means Favre was 35. So in 2005, when Ted Thompson took over, that would mean Favre was 35. Aaron Rodgers is going to turn 35 later this year, in December. So I guess if you want to look at it from that perspective, you could say they're inheriting similar situations. Now, it's interesting that one of the first things, if not the first thing, Ted Thompson did, having 35-year-old Favre on his roster, was to draft Aaron Rodgers with his first ever draft pick. Well, not that this has the same symbolic nature and it doesn't have the same ramifications for sure, but one of the first things Brian Gutekunst did was trade for DeShone Kizer, who Mike McCarthy said would have been in the top four quarterbacks of this draft discussion. It would have been a top 10 pick in this year's draft. In other words, a guy they loved, or at least that Mike McCarthy loved. So, you know, when Thompson took over, let's face it, I mean, if Brett Favre was the GM of the Packers from 2005 to 2007, he would have run the team and drafted the team and done signings a lot differently than what Ted Thompson did. You know, mm-hmm. Ted Thompson didn't look at it as like, you know, back in 2005. Thompson didn't look at it as like, all in, we got to win now. We have 35-year-old Brett Favre. We have a few good years left in his career. We have to go all in. He went the opposite of that. He said, well, let's take our next quarterback with my first ever pick. You know, let's kind of build this thing slowly. Let's have an eye towards the future at all times, which, of course, pissed Brett Favre off, understandably, because he's like, come on, I only have a few good years left. And ultimately, we saw where that landed. So I actually think there's enough similarities there where, and again, the quarterback is just one position, but when you have, you know, a generational quarterback like Favre, and then somehow you get, I don't want to say lucky enough because it wasn't just luck, but when you get fortunate enough to be able to transition then to another generational quarterback like Rodgers, and there is that parallel of inheriting these teams when those quarterbacks are give or take the same age, give or take a year, there's definitely similarities there. And I think when you see the Packers, you know, we talked about before the draft, should the Packers trade up? Will they trade up? And they end up trading back and picking up a future asset. So you can tie that into the, is Gutekunst more Wolf or more Thompson? And it kind of tells you, well, maybe it, as we dissect it more and more, it becomes more Ted Thompson, that Aaron Rodgers, kind of like Favre at that point, had kind of started, you know, Rodgers has been speaking out. Like, you know, I want to be consulted. I want to, you know, I shouldn't have to find out about Van Pelt. You know, I should be able to have a say in Jordy Nelson's departure, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of, it starts to sound familiar, doesn't
yeah.
it?
And, yeah, it does. We talked about that with Burke Griffin earlier, too. Burke said the same thing, that for as anti-Favre as Rodgers has been, he's very much starting to walk down that path.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, when you have the success that Favre had, and then, you know, it's easy when you're the 22-year-old kid who kind of steps in the locker room and, you know, looks at Grandpa Favre, and because he's 35, oh, wow, so old. And now you kind of become that guy 13 years later, and you're looking in the roster, you're looking in the locker room, and, you know, you're the old guy, and there's guys there who, you know, weren't in first grade when you graduated high school. I mean, that's the case. That's what happens
right.
when you're a quarterback who lasts in the league as long as Rodgers has and as long as Favre did. And, you know, you can, as a 22-year-old, you can scoff at that type of commentary and that type of behavior all you want. And then you see it play out for yourself, and you're like, hey, wait a second. I turned 35 in December. I'm speaking from Rodgers' behalf. Like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be 35 in December. Let's go. Like, what are we waiting for? I know I want to play until I'm 40, and Rodgers keeps talking about playing into his 40s. We'll see, right? I mean, that's aspirational, and that's great, but that's really hard to do, obviously. So, yeah, it's a fascinating kind of, as you really start to lay over the differences, not just between, you know, Gutekunst versus Thompson versus Wolf, but then also the types of teams that Gutekunst inherited compared to Thompson. There's actually maybe more similarities than I would have thought 15 minutes ago before we talked about it.
Paul, good stuff. We'll chat again later in the week, okay?
All right, Bill. Thanks.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.